This episode is presented by Invest Puerto Rico. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Hello and welcome back to Equity, a podcast about the business of startups where we unpack the numbers and the nuance behind the headlines. My name is Alex and this is our interview show where we sit down with a guest, or in this case, guests, think about their work and then unpack the rest. Today we are keeping it in-house and we have TechCrunch senior reporters Dominic Midori-Davis and Kyle Wiggers here. They are writing a long-running and soon to be even longer-running interview series with women in AI. We are absolutely loving their reporting so far. Learning quite a lot, so we brought them on the show so we can learn even more as a group. Dom, Kyle, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Dom has been here before. Kyle has been here before. You're both Equity veterans, but Kyle, I have a story for you. I'm glad you're back because I was recently asked by someone who works in, let's call it the technology communications world, if you are a real person or a robot. And I'm very glad we can do kind of a proof of life here that you are actually a person. So welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be back. Yeah, it's a weird liveness check, but whatever works for people to prove I am human. Indeed. Wish I was a robot, you know, be more productive. But here we are.
I feel like that's more of a comment about where we are in capitalism than anything else. But let's put that aside and move along. So I want to go back in time a little bit because sure. I've been watching you guys put out this series now for what it feels like months. I'm just kind of curious, what was the genesis and how long did it take to spin up talking to all these women in the world of AI, Dom?
Okay, so it was obviously because of the New York Times publishing some AI series and they listed like a bunch of guys and no women. And I'm trying to remember how it started. Either I flagged it to Kyle or like we were just talking about it. And it was kind of like, isn't it crazy that the New York Times is doing this massive series on AI and they're going back to just Elon and Larry Page and Sam as if those three guys invented AI and AI just started 3 years ago? I was like, that's actually crazy.
Yeah, it felt like cognitive dissonance reading that piece, not to tear down the New York Times. But the headline was The Dawn of AI, and it profiled people, mainly white men, as Dom said, who are involved with AI, sure, and have led the field to where it is today in certain ways, but didn't necessarily contribute to some of the important fundamental work in the AI field, which goes back much further than the Times suggested in its piece. And also, obviously, completely passed over the role of women in this field. And I hope our series has shown a light on some of the more influential figures that weren't mentioned in the Times piece who have been key in making important advances and also bringing to light issues that maybe some of the men in the Times piece did not, have not, and will not.
So one thing I'm really curious about is how you went about selecting the people you guys wanted to speak to. I've read, I think, five or six of these thus far, and honestly enjoyed each one that I've read, but I don't have a great pulse on all the people who are working in AI. So Dom, how did you come up with the right list of women to go out and talk to?
Yeah, that was definitely an effort on like Kyle and I. Kyle, how would you explain it?
Yeah, we found that the best way to discover or uncover like women who usually don't get the spotlight that they deserve in this space, especially, is by asking other women. So it kind of started with a small group and we asked like, okay, you know, we want to highlight you. We want to profile you for this series. Who else would you recommend that might be good for it? And it snowballed from there. I feel kind of guilty saying this. I feel like we didn't have to do a ton of legwork. Like the names just kept rolling in and they were all really good and interesting. It honestly is an approach I think I will take in the future as a reporter for other stories. Like maybe it's not done enough. The content of the pieces aside, like the reporting was really informative and like really showed to me how women can be passed over so easily. It's like, well, you know, if the first names for a piece like this coming to mind for you are men, of course, it'll be a list of all men that you end up with. But if you practice active listening and actually solicit the opinions of people in the field who are in the trenches and seeing like the inequity for themselves, it'll be a different story. So yeah, I'm proud of how we went about this. And I think the result is a really strong list of women who, frankly, again, have not gotten the press they deserve in the past.
I also wanted to add something because after the New York Times piece came out, a lot of women were already really, really upset. And so there was already a lot of conversation on LinkedIn, and there were already a lot of lists circling, and like a lot of women were already circling their own lists. So I think I even put out something on LinkedIn where I was like, does anyone know any women in AI? And there was just a bunch of people saying like, this woman, this woman, this woman, because women were already trying to, there were like a lot of professionals on LinkedIn already trying to fill the narrative themselves. And so it kind of made it a little bit easy for us to at least figure out or get a starting point and compile everything in a Google Doc, because the names were there, which shows that, I mean, hey, the names were there and the names are there for people who are still looking for women in AI. They're all over LinkedIn, all over social media, and they're ready.
You know, one thing you guys mentioned in your kind of piece that links to all of your individual interviews was a couple of data points that really stood out to me. According to a 2021 era Stanford study, just 16% or one in six tenure track faculty that are focused on AI today are women. And then a separate study from the World Economic Forum found that only 26% of analytics related in AI positions are held by women. Do we think that's in part because women who do work in those fields are overlooked, and therefore there's fewer examples out there that might bring more women into the field? And then if so, is this series almost an attempt at rectification of that gap?
I think like the dearth of women in these industries or the attention that they get, I think it's kind of a group effort in terms of bias. The media does disproportionately give credit to men, as we've seen these past 2 years, you know, who are the innovators, who are the big names, the big shots in AI. All the attention has been going to a lot of male-founded companies. But I think overall, like in the history of academia and just research and funding and entrepreneurship and tech, women have just always been overlooked or disregarded. Those statistics show just an amalgam of all of those things.
Kyle, I want to double click on the academia point that Dom's bringing up, because when I think about AI, it seems to be a field that definitely crosses over into just the world of research. So when we talk about women in these kind of leading academic roles, that work will lead directly into technology products. It's not just thinking about this stuff, it's actually building the future of AI.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's important that people are focused on basic AI research and answering questions about ethics and things like data provenance that maybe in the commercial sector get passed over, right? Frankly, the motivations there are different than someone working in academia. Another important point I want to bring up is, and a lot of women we've spoken to have talked to this, is that women need good mentors, right? So like, a lot of women in academia, professors in AI, data science, machine learning can and are good role models for women who might be interested in entering the space, or maybe not interested, but then become interested as a result of speaking with some of these women, right? I think it was Irene Solomon at Hugging Face. She's head of global policy there. She was saying, you know, it's really important for young women, especially, to find their like cheerleaders and support groups of women who help them through, frankly, a challenging and inequitable field, right? As you mentioned, the stats are not encouraging. Hopefully they're changing slowly, I'm sure, but you know, hopefully they're changing. Big picture, these women in academia serve multiple roles. You know, not only are they focusing on important research questions that men in AI might not consider as often. I think we have data to prove that actually. They're also helping further the field, building toward the next generation by helping young people who might be interested in this advance their careers.
Yeah, and the research is so very important, especially as we're trying to build policy around a lot of this stuff, policy and legislation, and also training a lot of the algorithms and things, because we need academics who have a more intersectional view on life and what to look for in order to bring up topics that we need in order to discuss AI that can be used for all of humanity rather than just a certain subgroup of people.
Right. Because, you know, if people are right, this AI stuff, speaking about it very generally, is going to find its way into every piece of software and down the road hardware as well. So getting the foundations right is not a small bit of work. It's super critical for how we're going to live our lives over the next, well, I mean, I don't know, Kyle, forever?
Yeah.
I guess actually, let's take a small pause. And I want to ask this question to you because you cover more AI startups than anyone that I know. Is the hype that we've seen in the world of AI and the concern that we've had from people about AI regulation and so forth, are we actually progressing that quickly? We've seen a lot of policy news from the EU and so forth recently, but it does seem that the pace at which new models have come out that have really novel new skill sets and abilities has slowed. And I'm curious if that's me missing the point here, or if that's a fair representation and view of where AI is today.
Yeah, you know, I would say we've made some progress. The AI Act in the EU is an indicator of that. There are other data regulations in the EU that had an impact on the AI industry. In the US, it's a different story. It's a bit slower. But we have had new guidance recently from the Patent Office regarding IP around AI inventions and what can be patented and what can't be. And, you know, we have a couple of women in the series that have spoken to this, including a few that haven't been, whose interviews haven't been published yet. So for more insight, I would definitely recommend checking those out. To sum up, there's been movement, maybe not enough for some people, but there's reasons to be encouraged mildly.
Cool. Well, I want to dig into who might be coming up in the series, but guys, before we get into that, we have to take a very short break. We're back with Kyle and Dom in just a second. What's next in tech? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's an innovations paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the US. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/TechCrunch. Now, one of the questions you guys dug through in each of these interviews that I've read thus far is advice and what advice the interviewees would give to women seeking to enter the AI field. I'm curious if there's any particular trends or kind of standout themes that stuck out to you there.
Yeah, one thing that stood out to me just because I edited the interview this morning, it was something that Kate Devlin at King's College said. She's a professor there in AI and society. Those are her areas of focus. It was a good soundbite. She said, you have the right to take up as much space as the men, speaking to women. That, if you had to pull out a theme from these interviews, that's certainly a strong one. It's that it's still a male-dominated field. It's pretty obvious. No one really denied that, that I spoke to. But you as a woman have permission and the right to assert yourself, as hard as that might be. If you find support groups, that makes it easier. But the message was, don't give up. You will be discouraged. You will encounter setbacks, but it's important. It's vital that you push past those if you can, as much of a mental toll as it probably takes and as discouraging as it is. You know, maybe not the most optimistic perspective, but it's a very frank and honest one. And I have to say, I appreciated the honesty that a lot of these women came to these interviews with. That's the only way you can really answer these questions about the field. And maybe it's the way in which we start to confront things and make them better.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the answers that they gave, they echoed a lot of the answers that other, like, just overall marginalized founders give when you ask them that question. Like, what advice do you have for other people who are in marginalized, disadvantaged, underrepresented, whatever word you want to use? Like, what do you have for others that are in the position you're in? I mean, there's not really much you can do besides like persist. I do remember like getting support groups and mentorship and continue to advocate for what you want, what you need, what the world needs, trying to be heard. But I think it's all about persisting. There's not really much else you can do because it's not like you can give up, because if you give up, then the work won't get done, right? You kind of just always have to keep moving. And that's been the big theme. And I think that that's an overall theme for people who are trying to get their voices heard.
You know, Dom, one thing you and I have worked on together off and on for a long time is your reporting, looking into, just to pick one metric, how much venture capital is put into companies founded by Black founders, for example. And we've seen an ebb and flow of that. During the kind of last venture boom, the amount of capital raised by Black founders in the US went up, and then it has come back down as venture capital itself has contracted. I'm curious if there is a way to track kind of progress for women in AI in a similar way. And if so, do the trends here look positive? Are women grabbing more of the work, the jobs, and the leadership roles that are so important here?
Okay, so this is so funny. So actually last year, I asked Crunchbase this question, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. It seemed, or at least according to their data, it seemed like there was a boost in VC funding to women-founded AI startups.
Oh, interesting.
It might not be like exuberant amounts. When I'm looking at it right now, it was like companies raised like $3.61 billion out of like $23 billion or something like that. It might not be a lot, but it was a boost. It was like an increase. Like the numbers are going up from what they have been. And so I remember being like pleasantly kind of surprised by that. And so I actually am optimistic that with the AI craze that is happening, I'm optimistic that there will be a lot more opportunities going to women, we hope. You never know, though, because investors are so unpredictable. You just never really know with investors. But I am optimistic. You can't, it's just so obvious if they were to overlook women right now. You cannot, we've seen what happens when you build technology in a world without women. I think that it would just so detrimentally harm any innovation that comes out of this movement to not have women's voices that I just don't even see how they could get away with not giving money to women.
Yeah. Kyle, on your end, because you cover so many different AI venture capital events, are you seeing more women crop up in your inbox that are building companies that TechCrunch might feature and profile?
Yeah, definitely. I'm noticing women-led AI startups, maybe not founded by solely women, but there is a woman co-founder there. It's tough to answer this question because
it's basically a vibe check versus a demand for an exact numerical count. Like, does it seem to be kind of becoming more common or perhaps less?
I mean, if I were to answer honestly, it'd be like, I'm seeing more, but like, I don't know if I would cover them, frankly, right? So it's like, maybe not the best answer, but...
No, it's whatever you're seeing is what you're seeing. The thing I was kind of curious about is I was going through the list of interviewees thus far, and there are academics, researchers, and so forth, but not as many founders as I might have expected from the initial first, I don't know where you guys are at, 10 or 12 thus far. And so I was kind of curious if we are going to see more women founders of AI startups make the cut for the series, because I would also love to know on their particular side of the AI question, how things are going and kind of what they're running into or benefiting from that we could all learn from.
Right. Well, on my end, at least, it's kind of been a conscious choice to avoid entrepreneurs and commercial interests. My idea for the series was to kind of focus on policy and academia. So like you've noticed the lack of folks from the commercial side there, and that's like purposeful, at least like on my part. Maybe like in the future, we'll include some or do like a spinoff series. Definitely open to that. But like, because then it becomes like free advertising. Then it becomes like softball questions for like a founder, which maybe they deserve that, maybe they don't, but it feels a little inappropriate in my mind to not treat them like we would any other founder, like ask the standard questions. But that's the behind the scenes reporting stuff that's been going on. That's why it's a tough question, right? Because it's like, in my mind, the series wasn't really about that.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer to how you're approaching this particular question. I'm just glad that we are highlighting these voices. I guess maybe it's more of a condemnation of how commercially minded I've become in our reporting process that I was like, wait, where are the founders? But not a weakness if that's not kind of where you're focusing. But I'm kind of curious, Dom, same thing to you. Now that the series is going on, are more women founders in the world of AI reaching out to you, trying to get in touch and raise more awareness about what they're building?
Yes, there are. For this, we did want to focus a lot on like policy and like the behind the scenes. Founders get a lot of attention.
It's true.
So kind of wanted to take a step behind the step, if that's a phrase. But yeah, you know, always interested to talk to founders about AI. I'm on a podcast called Found. We've been talking to women in AI. We spoke to one, Rebecca Hugh from Glacier, and she makes robots that can sort recycling. So waste can be like properly sorted and reused. And we also spoke to Allison Wolf from Vibrant Planet, who's using AI to create like some really cool technology to help with wildfires and stuff. So there's like a lot of really, really cool women doing really cool things with AI. It's just something that, yeah, a lot of women have been reaching out to us about their products and super excited to read them all because there's just so much cool stuff happening. And I just think the narrative of like the cool things that are happening, it should be more inclusive. So it's fun to add to that.
Absolutely. And that kind of actually leads well into my last question for you guys, which is, Dom, you know, who's coming up in the interview circuit and who should we have our eyes out for?
I feel like it should be a secret.
give me a tease. Come on. You can't just say absolutely not, Alex. I will go into WordPress and I will find your drafts. I'm kidding.
It should be a secret. Kyle, I think, dropped a hint when he was talking about editing in the CMS. I think he dropped the name by accident.
Oh, was that an accident?
Or was it not an accident?
Yeah. I'm playing six-dimensional chess here. But
yes, journalists, famously organized people.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm happy to preview one because I think it'll be a good one. Kathy Vidal, who's a director at the Patent Office, was willing to participate in this. And I think her answers were, she has an interesting background. You know, she didn't really, AI was not the end destination she had in mind for herself, but she ended up there. you know, went to college at 16. Like, she's a fascinating person and has like really interesting views on the field and good advice for women looking to pursue it as well. So I'm pumped about that one. Don't know when it'll publish. That's kind of out of my hands at this point, but be on the lookout. I think our listeners will enjoy that a lot.
All right. And then if people want to suggest a name to the ongoing series, Dom, what's the best way to get a hold of you and Kyle?
I don't know about you, Kyle, but I don't mind an email.
Yeah.
Or also Twitter and LinkedIn. I'm still trying to hit 10K on Twitter. So you could follow me on Twitter and then like DM me a name. I'm fine with email, honestly.
Yeah, email works. Mastodon, whatever. Signal, your medium of choice. We look at all of them. We've had quite a few come in since the series began. Apologies to those who haven't heard back if you're waiting, but rest assured we see them. So don't hesitate to reach out or even suggest a name if one comes to mind.
All right. And then Dom, you did mention a couple of interviews you've done on Found. Where can people find that podcast on the great wide internet?
Oh, it's on Apple Podcasts. You could also just easily go to my byline and then it's there. It's like the recent articles. You could just, that's the easiest way. Or, you know, anywhere where podcasts are available is also another easy way to find Found.
Don't you guys also have a Twitter handle?
Yes, it's Found.
Excellent. I was trying to lean towards, hey, you're in the first name club for X over there on social media. But everybody, we're going to leave it there. Kyle, Dom, thank you so much. If you need more from the Equity crew, of course, we are Equity Pod over on X and Threads. We did not get the first name handle. We had to add Pod there because we weren't as cool as the kids over at Found. And if you want more from the entire TechCrunch Podcast Network, we are TechCrunch Pods on TikTok. This is Alex. This is Equity. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Equity is hosted by myself, editor-in-chief of TechCrunch Plus, Alex Wilhelm, and TechCrunch senior reporter, Mary Ann Azevedo. We are produced by Teresa Loconsolo with editing by Kel. Bryce Durbin is our illustrator, and a big thank you to the audience development team and Henry Picavet, who manages TechCrunch audio products. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.